to the Modern Mindfulness Podcast. It's me, Rebecca, here, your guide, and this is the first ever in-person recording of the podcast, and here I have Jenny Scholl as the inaugural honorable guest. Welcome, Jenny.
Thank you. It's so exciting.
Yeah, you're welcome, and we're here live in Jet Creative Studio here in Encinitas, and this is fun. It's different. I'm a little nervous. Normally, I'm not nervous on the podcast, but we're going to just roll with it today.
Yeah.
And before we dive into our conversation, I'll read just a little bit on you, Jenny. And then as we were sharing before we hit record, there's so much to a bio and so much to not say in a bio. And we'll just see what else you might feel inspired to add to. So using a blend of ancient traditions and contemporary practices, Jenny leads and invites you on a journey to reconnect with your divine nature, to refine the magic and the mysticism, and to tap into the bountiful, effortless flow of life. It's so beautiful.
Oh, thank you. I'm like, ooh, that feels nice.
Even though it feels very nice to hear and read. Yeah. And I know that's not all of who you are. Definitely things that you're bringing to life now. But in thinking of, well, who are you, Jenny? Where do we even begin?
Where do we even begin? I
know. How far back? Well, you just got back from visiting the homeland, so yeah. Maybe share a little bit too, because I find that interesting, like where you were born, what life was like.
Yeah, beautiful. I was born actually in Long Island, New York. My parents grew up in New York, and they moved us. Now, being older, I realize how brave it was of them. They decided they didn't want to live there. They wanted to live somewhere on the coast, so they drove up and down the coast until they found a town that they liked, and that ended up being Swansboro, North Carolina. So a town on the coast of North Carolina, small little fishing town. And that's where I grew up.
That's so special. Wow.
Yeah, it was really special. It was a small town there. And then I went to school in Chapel Hill, lived in Raleigh a little bit after that before moving to California. So yeah, I just spent 6 weeks back on the East Coast and it was so nice to reconnect. I think that was the longest I've been there since I moved away 10 years ago. And it was just really sweet to reconnect with the people, with the land, at a slower pace.
Yeah.
On a longer trip.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds really nice. Mm-hmm. Slow pace of really soaking it in. Actually, I feel like this has been a theme for people I know too lately, where they move away, they kind of do that, whether it's the hero's journey or whatever, you know, and then they return back home. And I've been seeing that in the last year of people I've talked to, or clients or people on the show. And it's, I don't know, maybe it's a time of that where people are kind of feeling this full circle quality. And would you say, is there something to that? Did you venture away? And now when you return home, does it feel almost like you're bringing these new gifts or these new ideas back?
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like actually this trip solidified it a little bit more for me. Before, I feel like I would go back and almost like reconfigure to my old life. I guess not old or new, but just the past version of myself. And this time I feel like I was really able to be like fully present and fully who I was back in a place that meant so much to me. So it was kind of like a full circle moment of like, oh yeah. Like, I don't have to switch being, like, an East Coast version and a West Coast version. I am just who I am, no matter where I am. Yeah.
I love that, and I want that for everyone. If you're listening, we're going to go into how Jenny was able to do that, because I feel like, not that there's a magic recipe or secret, but I think that's what a lot of people, at least people I meet, that is, like, that question of how do I get to show up as myself in every single moment, and there's so many different practices, and we each have to find our way, but we'll definitely see where we go in this conversation. And
yeah.
Just also what you can share on what has enabled you to do that, you know, and kind of starting here at the end of the full circle. Now, maybe we'll kind of reverse a little bit as well. And so we were chatting too about, you know, I've known you for maybe a couple years now, and we've gotten to know each other even more this year. And it's evolved a little bit in what I think when I first met you, what you were doing, and now into what you're doing now. And I want to dive into mysticism. So this word comes up now.
Yep.
It's a word you use. So what is mysticism, just even defined, or for the listeners out there, you know, what is it? What does it include?
Yeah.
What does it mean to you?
For me, mysticism has been a big part of my faith journey. And it has become, mysticism is really about like the awareness of an embodied love and spirituality. It is a way of feeling. It's a way of viewing. It's a way of being able to look at the world with a lens of contemplation and not knowing, and of awe and wonder and of awareness, and just kind of it's allowed me to be more delighted by life, because there's so many things that I know that I don't know. And to be in the mystery, like part of mysticism, right, is like being in the mystery of the all-knowing and kind of letting life teach you and unfold moment by moment versus maybe the idea that we already know.
Mm. That's not what I was thinking at all. So thank you for that.
What were you thinking?
I was thinking, and this is so silly, but just like witches and mysticism and, I'm about all of it, but like in thinking of mystery and thinking, and I love awe and wonder. And so in a way, it almost brought it to earth. The way you just described it made me realize, mm-hmm. Mysticism is something we experience in our human experience, and it isn't necessarily mysticism. I think also growing up, there was this computer game called Myst, and it was totally like this fantasy land. Mm-hmm. So there's probably something like that where I think it's
kind of
fantasy.
Is like that. And I use the word magic a lot, too. Yeah. And then some people don't like magic because they think of like witches and stuff like that. But I'm like, the world is amazingly magical, and mystical. And so to me, those are kind of interchangeable.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So magic fits into that. Yeah. Mystery, though, fits into that. And you mentioned the F word, faith. Yeah. So that's also what I want to talk about today. And so faith too, let's keep it real simple. What is faith to you, defined?
Yeah. Someone actually in my college campus minister told us that faith was not faith unless you could question it and still believe it. So I think it is like a personal exploration. It's different than maybe religion or a set of foundational principles. It's like, what do you have faith in?
Yeah.
And so it's this idea that you can question but still feel like supported by, or still feel like a resonance with.
Yeah, to question and still believe in.
Yeah, because if you can't question it, is it really faith? Mm. Or is it just something you've been told to believe?
Mm. I think that deserves a moment of silence. Like, yes, think on that for a second, folks, to question it and then still believe it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's so powerful. And, religion is something that a lot of people use, I think, in the whole, as you're talking about mysticism, it's almost like, faith and religion loop into people's experience of awe and wonder and, the magic of life. And so where does religion fit in for you / where do you see it fit in for, generally speaking too, if that's kind of where it goes?
I think religion can be incredibly helpful, and it has been helpful for many generations, and it gets to a tipping point where I think it can start being harmful. So it does in many communities and for many people provide a really beautiful structure. Right. And it teaches basic foundations and principles. And for a lot of people, it's community. So I think that part of religion can be beautiful. Where I think it starts tipping is where it starts to create a polarity, or it's a me versus you, or if you're not with me, you're against me. Right. Which is where I have started veering a little bit more towards the mysticism, towards the spiritual side. Versus a traditional religion side, because I feel like religion has walls that can sometimes become prisons.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And I feel like I want to just dive right in, because I know that's present in my mind of just a lot of the things I've seen you share and what I think is important and something I haven't covered on the show before. And so then still in this whole bigger conversation of mysticism, I can see where religion, it is one bridge of many to the mysticism, or to the moments of mysticism, right? It can be like a tool or a vehicle to let people experience awe and wonder, to let people experience having faith in something. It might be in religion or it might not, right? So all these terms that I just had you define, they do flow together for me. Are there any other ways these things kind of fit together? How does religion tie to mysticism, or where does faith come into bridging the two?
Yeah, I think it's a beautiful exploration that people can have. And I like to explain it as like kind of depending on what doorway. So for me, I was brought up in a very Christian household, going to church many times a week. My parents were Bible study teachers. They still are. So religion was my doorway in my mind to then spirituality and then mysticism. Because it was like you got taught the principles, right? The foundations, and here's the Bible stories, and here's the right and wrong. And then it became a time, I think, where you start to kind of question. And I think a lot of people go through this. I know there's a movement now in Christianity of like deconditioning, right? Of like, wait, what do I actually believe versus what I've been taught? So I think that that can be a doorway to kind of loop these things together of, you know, religion has a lot of years of history and it has a lot of politics involved. It has a lot of power involved. It has a lot of patriarchy involved. And if you can love it for the good that it brings, and kind of know maybe you want to discard some of the other stuff and kind of move into a more spiritual or more mystic, I think that avenue is there for everybody. And I think a lot more people are actually mystic than they know. They just don't know that it's like a term. But a lot, like you were saying, a lot of people have glimpses, whether it's in a service, whether it's a lot of people have it, you know, in these big churches when they're singing and like the whole room is filled with this like God love and this joy, and they get a sense of something bigger than themselves. So it can, mysticism can happen in religion and it can also happen outside of it.
Yeah, I got chills as you were saying that. And I think it's like through the thing you feel like, okay, people singing in church gives them that connection to, and that's what gave me chills. And there's something in the connection to that gave me chills. It wasn't people singing in church. You right. know, it's the connection.
Because some people feel it just standing at the ocean.
Exactly.
Or looking at the moon.
Yeah.
And starting to be like, oh, but it is that like feeling of a little bit of like euphoria sometimes. You're like, right? Like, oh, I'm connected to something bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so beautiful. And I was sharing with you that quote I heard at some point in the last year around sometimes religion gets in the way of God. And I, when I heard that, and I think it's by Bono, the singer who said that, it's like, oh yeah, sometimes it gets in the way of God. And so to add God to the mix here, you know, and it can be it, he, she, how do you define God when you use the word?
Yeah, that's a tricky question.
I know, right?
But for me, it's like a big universal love. One of my favorite authors, Megan Watterson, she's a feminist theologian, and I think she calls it the big unthinkable love, right? And it's just this like energy, this vibration of oneness, of unity, of love, of things that are conditionally like supporting you and there for your good.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, I like Megan. I haven't read too much of her. I know she popped through, you know, whatever social media probably at some point around the Mary Magdalene work. And that was when I started to realize, oh, something's happening here, you know. And although I was raised, I was baptized Lutheran and we did not really go to church much. And I knew a little bit about religion. But when I'd hear friends in the coming, I don't know, maybe last decade or two around, you know, Christ is returning and all the things. And then I started to see more and more and more and Mary Magdalene coming in and this energy of Mary coming in and like, okay, something's happening here. I'm a great observer. And so although I don't spend time in religion and in church, there was something that I was still sensing and seeing in the last chunk of time. And I know that's when I saw Megan. So have you seen that too? I think you've been a little bit more in that world than I have. And so is there something to be said? I know you also, and I'd love to hear about your study of energetics and things, but you know, when I feel energy like that, or there's this coming together of like Christ and Mary energy, there is something happening on planet Earth right now from my lens. So what about you? Have you seen that? Can you name more of like, what is that? What is happening? What does religion say about this? What do the mystics say about this?
Totally. It's definitely happening for sure. So you're not crazy. You're onto something. So what's beautiful, I think, about Christianity too, is it helped create these big ideas of like God and love and create it through a man, right? So it helped humanize this really big concept. And some other religions keep this, you know, in like Buddhism and things, that it's still a very large concept that's outside of yourself. When this love through Yeshua or Jesus came down in a human body. But Christ consciousness itself is still that same energy, right? And it's an energy that's alive. And through some of Megan's work and some of the other works, you know, I started picking up on this too. I'm like, wow, what is happening? And there's this energy of Mary Magdalene, or Miriam, as her name was back in the day with Yeshua. And some say, and what I kind of feel and believe, is that they were working together to bring this on earth, but it was a time of patriarchy. If she had been the forefront, no, we would not have listened, right? Like there are actually women disciples, women followers, women funding Yeshua's ministry. But you don't hear about them in the Bible because it was written by men for men. It was just the time period. You know, it's not like they were trying to pull a fast one on us. It's just like the time period that happened. And now, even on the planet, like the rise of the feminine is happening. And so it makes sense to me that the rise of this feminine love energy is also happening, because she is actually being able to be like seen in all of her glory and remembered for the power that was there and that she possessed and that she brought to earth, you know. And they can actually like pinpoint back, I don't know if you know this, they can like pinpoint back the one sermon that was like hundreds of years after the Bible was even written that said she was a prostitute. It's not written anywhere in the Bible. It came from like one man's mouth and man, it stuck, right? And so it's like, and so that's kind of what mysticism too has allowed me to do, is kind of get back into the heart, into the pure energetics, into the transmission, and kind of drop what I've been taught and be like, what do I feel? And I think that's been like the most powerful part of the journey of like, what do I actually feel when I can connect to these energies, when I can connect to the God energy, to the Christ consciousness energy, that's always available.
Yes. Now you're speaking my language of the body, and we'll get into embodiment, but I love that. Thank you so much for describing that. And that just felt so real. And I hope those listening can also feel that, where it is, you know, no matter what you believe in, where your faith is, at some point, and I definitely have said for years, you know, getting out of your head and into your body. It's like getting out of these theories, these teachings. They're all great. It's all energy. But how does it feel? You know, and then what does truth feel like to you in your body? How do you know when something's like true and love and aligned? And so, yes, thanks for bringing it back there, too. And just realizing all these things, while there's history, it's all energy. And at this point, too, as we're translating in our modern times, it's definitely energy of conversation, of concept. And you feel energy in your body when you slow down enough and shift awareness there to then feel what is real, right? And
and it's so powerful, because it's like, oh, we can actually connect to those same energies that for, you know, thousands of years people have just been trying their best to articulate. So I think some people also kind of you know, put an X on religion of being like, oh, they're, it's not modern, or it's not this, and you're like, of course it's not. It was written thousands of years ago, you know. And so the purest transmission is the energy.
So great. So cool. So I want to go into embodiments. We kind of just following the flow here. And so I know you're into embodiment, I'm into embodiment. So what are you doing these days for your own embodiment and helping others in their embodiment? What is embodiment?
First of all, I think embodiment is so important, to be able to slow down and feel, and to get out of the head, right? Kind of what we were speaking of. It's, we live in a culture where we've been taught a lot of rules. We've been taught what is right, what is wrong. And so a lot of it also shows up in our bodies, you know, the way we hold ourselves, the way, you know, we don't wiggle, you know, just we hold ourselves appropriately. So I think part of my practice lately, especially like in the morning, is just like letting my body do what it wants to do. And if it's like stretching in certain ways or opening in certain ways, you know, it's, it has such wisdom when we can get out of our head and into our body, even to the point of like, where does it want to go? What does it want to teach me? You know, maybe it's a walk and it doesn't make any sense to the mind, but it's like, okay. And then it's something beautiful. So I definitely think embodiment is a lost skill that's also on the rise. Like, it's coming back, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, it's coming back. Yeah, the body's back, people. Listen to the body. You've been hearing it. So, yeah, and it seems, I know people have heard that before. You listen to your body. And in the somatic stuff I share, it's like, okay, and you need to learn the language of your body. It's like you learn Spanish or whatever. Like, it's a language to learn. And so it sounds like in the morning, just like that, okay, what do you need to do? And that's like your way of listening to your body. Do you have any other advice for people around, you know, how do they listen to their body? How do they start to put their body first? Did it come in a different way for you too when you were just starting out on embodiment? Did you have to like make it a more regimented practice and now it's more flowy? Or do you have any words of wisdom around that for?
Yeah, I think people can probably feel different pathways. Mine was through trauma healing and energy healing, and really learning what it meant for trauma to be stuck in the body. And what I was just saying about like how you hold yourself, I didn't realize how rigid I was holding myself. And then like feeling the emotion that it was even tied to letting myself be fully supported by someone or something else. You know, even just this practice of like laying on the ground and seeing how heavy you can let your body actually be. I think it's surprising. I was guided through this practice where it was like another layer, another layer, another layer. And I was like, holy cow. Even when I thought I was, you know, like relaxing and being supported, I was holding. So it's all intertwined. And in like the divine feminine things too, right? It's like, can we let ourselves open and receive? And what does that mean in our body? So it's definitely, now it's a more fluid practice, but there were definitely classes I took. I studied with the Embody Lab for somatic attachment repair and just somatic integrated trauma healing and just learning about all these different like processes and methods, even just like being with your hand and your fingers. It's incredible. I'm like, wow, I feel like I took my poor hand. I didn't realize how amazing it was. And it sounds silly.
Yeah.
But when you are really able to like be with these parts of yourself, you learn a lot. And I think part of that is in the slowing down.
For sure.
And that's giving the space.
Yeah. Yeah. You read my mind. I was like, yep. And that's where it just allows you to be present. Like even right now, as you said that, it's like, okay, yeah, my hand, nothing else really matters. What I'm just sitting and feeling the joints bend in my fingers for 2 seconds. And then maybe a thought comes in and my brain's like, what am I having for dinner? And all the stuff that the brain likes to do. But just those simple things can be so powerful. Yeah. Thanks for naming some of those. And there's so much more, right? I mean, embodiment, we just are touching the tip of the iceberg here in terms of that conversation. But yeah, so it's kind of fun just kind of bouncing around here. And I hope folks can feel the flow where there's like this energetic connection to all these sorts of things. And I'm still feeling the mysticism even in now we're kind of back to earth with embodiment, being here in our bodies, and the gift of getting to be embodied. You know, I think that's what it comes down to, because we can talk forever and land on the clouds and dance around out there. But it's like, here we are living these modern lives and these modern bodies and like letting mysticism be, would you call it a practice, you know, or is it just like this awareness you start to live with? And does it let you show up differently?
I guess part of it's a practice, but it also for me is like a lens through which I view the world. Yeah. And even the embodiment part, like, you know, getting to know our body, it allows us to almost separate that our bodies are these beautiful vessels that hold our souls. Right. And so there's like this intertwining of embodiment and mysticism and all these things as we have such gratitude for being here in this life with this health. And, you know, I think it also trends into just like living healthy and all the biohacking and all these things, because we do realize the importance of taking care of these vessels to allow us to do what we want to do in the world and to live in our purpose and to spend more time in the magic of the mysticism.
For sure. Yes, it's also important. And you're making me think of like your human experience and your life journey. And as I was sharing, I feel like this show, it's evolved. I think this is the fourth season that I've been doing this. And it is all these things that we've been talking about. And then it also has just turned into this, I'm just so curious about like personal journeys. And I find so much inspiration in hearing someone's story. And you've already shared some of it. And I know even more around kind of what you've been doing. And I'd love for you to share a little bit on the job.
Yeah.
Like going back to a quote job. And yes, we're going to switch gears a little bit. But now that you know who Jenny is, and a little bit more about, you know, just the way you move through the world. But to share this decision that you made, when we met, you were doing more, I think, coaching or call it what you will. And then you landed back in a, quote, job. And I know I work with people, as I was sharing, it kind of turns into this confusing thing when we're in this day and age where a lot of people are self-employed and I'm a coach and I'm a this and I got to keep starving artist, all this stuff going. When really you don't have to. And I actually am seeing a lot of people stepping back into a work field that might look more like, you know, organized old ways of, you know, 9-to-5s and corporate stuff that everyone seemed to want to get away from in these last few years. But you're doing it in such a cool way. And I'd love for you to just highlight, like, what was that journey like for you returning to, quote, work?
Yeah.
How is it going? Do you have anything to share around that specifically?
For sure, because it's definitely been a journey. And I think you're right. I think a lot of people, when they're on their spiritual path, go through part of this journey. Mm-hmm. So the short version is I was working for this digital advertising company about 10 years ago. They were the reason I ended up in LA, in California. So I worked in sales in California and advertising for years, and I loved it. And then I kind of hit a burnout stage where we went corporate. We were a startup, which I loved because I could like play and, you know, create and do all these things. And then when we went corporate, I felt like I was more of a number. And I did what some people do, and I just quit and I started traveling. Which was amazing. And I think I was telling you, if someone would have told me before, they would have been like, hey, maybe make a few investments first, you know. But I was young and I was just excited. I'd never really traveled before. So I am grateful in that grand scheme of things, because it allowed me to have self-discovery and it put me on a journey. And I traveled the world. I formed a nonprofit. Like, I did so much. And thankfully, it was all pre-pandemic, and who even knew that was coming, right? But when the pandemic did come, that's when I started being a little more home-based and doing more coaching, more impact work, doing more consulting, and also learning about all these things at the same time. So there would be like weeks that I feel like I was just grateful I wasn't working then, because I was like blown out just being like, what is life? You know? So that was awesome. But then there's this also real thing about like living in this world as you're exploring the world beyond this world. And so there came a time, I guess April, so coming up on almost a year, where I was thinking about like, okay, what program am I going to put out next? What am I going to do next? And I noticed that the creation wasn't as fun, because it was coming from a very mental place. Like, I was thinking, okay, if I put out this course, how much would it be? How many people would have to enroll for me to feel okay about the next quarter? And I was like, gosh, I don't, that doesn't feel good to me right now. And so I really felt into, what do I want right now? And it was stability. And it was stability, not self-sourced. It was like an external kind of stability. And I started talking with some people from the old company. Long story short, there was a position open for an event strategist, which I love events and strategy. And so it seemed perfect. And I loved the team lead. And within a week, I had an offer. Well, I shouldn't say within a week. At first, before I found that opening, I started searching and being like, oh, I'll just go back into sales. But I had been out of it for 7 years and it didn't seem that easy. And then I started to have doubts. You know, I kind of went through this journey of like, oh, no, what if my plan B is not my plan B? Which was when I really had to step into another level and surrender that there's a plan I don't even know about. Right. Like, it's not in my head, my little like plan B. If I want to go back, I can. It was actually something so much greater. So now I joke with my company that I went on a 7-year sabbatical, which I kind of did. But almost how I was talking about going back to the East Coast, and that there's not these two versions of me. There's just me wherever I am. That's how I feel in this position. And a part of it may be that it's fully remote. You know, I'm not in an office. Things have definitely shifted since the pandemic in the work-life balance. But I get to show up in that role as this new version of me, which is really beautiful. And I lead a company meditation every week that people are loving. And I get to view it more as a job versus when I was younger, my job was my life and it took over. Versus I kind of had to switch my thinking and being like, okay, what if it's just I just signed a really big, contract. And that's like, I have one main client, because I still have a few clients on the side, but this job is my main client. And it feels really nice to have that biweekly paycheck that I know is coming in. And it's allowing me to still learn and play and create, but from a place of a little bit more freedom and more ease. That allows for more natural timing too. It doesn't feel like I'm forcing things anymore because I need to make my rent.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing all that. Yeah. I know it's hitting home for so many out there because it is in the field right now. And those listening to the podcast, Modern Mindfulness, I know there's a lot of folks out there that can get wrapped into so much of what you said and the beliefs of work's going to be this way, or I'm not going to be the creative, you know, person or the spiritual this or that. But like I said at the beginning too, I think we're in this new era of new work. And I know when you had shared, I think I saw it on your Instagram one day of when you were going through maybe the interview process or something, and they wanted you to just be you, you know, and they welcomed you to bring all the things and all the gifts, and you didn't have to keep your meditation at home. And I've seen more and more of that. And I'm so just relieved that that's where we're at. And, you know, we're not going back now, because this is the new world unfolding, the new earth, whatever you want to call it, and new waves of, we still need the companies. We still need, we're in an era of tech. Like, we need these companies to be awesome, and we need people like you in there bringing the gifts, right?
Well, that's the thing, is that everyone who's been on this journey who has, you know, more elevated thinking or more higher levels of consciousness or more mindfulness, if we all just leave them, Like, that doesn't really do anyone any good. So it's like, how can we return and notice that this is just a part of my life?
Yeah.
You know, and it's a very fun part. I enjoy it. And I love it. And it's not the fullness of who I am.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was one of my favorite things that you said of the job versus the life, because I do still see that in people. As aware as people are becoming, there still is that workaholic mentality that can sneak in, or, you know, like, my career is who I am, and just that loss of true identity and letting it just be a job, like the European way, right? It's like other countries don't get so in like we do here.
Other countries, it's amazing. Yeah, they work-life balance is totally different. It's like life with a little work.
Yeah, it's, I hope we're on our way there, because I think it's, again, just awareness first, and people are slowly seeing the shift and realizing that making their career, their job, their life, their whole self is not really doing it anymore, if it ever did. And I'm thinking of a client now where she's in this high leadership position, and she also went through a yoga teacher training with me years ago, and she started to implement breath work. You know, we talked about how can you bring all of you in. You don't have to, like, on the weekend be a yoga teacher. Like, you can be that. And it's been so fun to, like, watch her merge these worlds. And it's like the people are living with anxiety daily on her team. And I'm like, you have these gifts, use them, you know? And so it's just been, like, sad to hear for a second, but then I'm like, yes, we got the tools for this. This is, like, what we're all training for in a certain way, you know?
Yeah. And for those of us who have taken the time to do the learning and the trainings and have the tools, it's, yeah, work is so different. Because you, back to embodiment, like, you recognize much more quickly any of these, like, little signs of burnout, or you know so much more about yourself and how to take care of yourself and how to take care of your body. So it, for me, it's been a completely different experience, but one that's been really beneficial for this time in my life, where I do feel like I'm in more of, like, still the listening and the contemplation and the awe. And it might not be putting out a program every month.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, like, soaking in the magic, but knowing that it's all progressing just as it should.
Totally. Yeah. I was thinking that as you were saying, like, just another sweet example of life just unfolding as it's supposed to.
Yeah. Without the forcing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And trusting your own timing, and even just now in hindsight, watching your journey of all the things you were learning and the healing that you mentioned and the embodiment. And then you had that one moment where you're like, oh, now I'm realizing that I'm forcing this thing that worked for me at one point, isn't working for me anymore. And now I'm able to make an embodied choice, you know, from the inside out. Mm-hmm. What do I really need? And you, and Jenny, before that, probably wouldn't have had the resources to even have that awareness, probably would you not. Say, right?
Like, yeah.
It just took going through what you went through to get you to where you got in order to get you to where you now are.
Totally. And it was in that, like, slowing down and listening, right? Of, like, what would feel really good right now.
Yeah. And the stability, you know, that's a word I, for years, that would come up. What do you need? I need stability. And I really appreciate you saying that, you know, you realize that it was actually external stability, because it could be the opposite for people. I know for me, it was, well, I had the, you know, I lasted for like a year. Wait, first thing right out of college, I got this corporate job. And that was stable, right? Oh, I need something stable. But I did not. That's not what I needed. You know, the external stability was not filling me up, you know? And so it can go both ways. Totally. And I love that reminder of, okay, yeah, I actually need external stability right now. So it can ebb and flow. And but that boundaries, that stability, that energy of, I think of boundaries and I think of stability and kind of that same flavor. And it creates freedom, though. And like you mentioned, now your creative flow is like, did it come flooding back, or was it like once you kind of got into this groove of biweekly paychecks and whatnot, did you start to feel some signs of now I'm like, you know, how was that experience of letting that creative energy kind of rekindle and show up again?
It was really fun. Like, because it felt so much more, it felt more like play, right? It wasn't from like having to do anything, or like if I had an idea, I could just throw it out to the world. It didn't have to be like, oh, what do I do with it to monetize on it or to capitalize on it, you know, or do I need a website or an Instagram handle or da da da. It's like, I just have a fun idea I want to talk to someone about. Or, you know, different art things that I've been playing with, or, and it, yeah, it feels more free and I'm less attached, because I'm like, they could just flow out. I don't know. Maybe tomorrow I'm not on this thread and that's okay. But for now, it's something that I get to like play with.
Yeah, that feels so light and free. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. And we were talking about your art a little bit. So what are some ways you've been channeling your creative energy that you're mentioning?
Yeah, so lately, it's funny because I've loved writing. I've always loved writing and putting things through words, but I've never been a very good like actual artist. But lately I've discovered AI art where there's a few different programs, but I use one called Midjourney where I can sit and listen and take the words that are coming to me, put it, you know, into this program, and it creates these images that then I can like tweak a little bit based on, is it more like this or that, but it's been really beautiful to be able to play with this AI art and be able to translate into something visually for others that I feel. Like I just recently did a line of Mother Mary's, you know, we're coming up on the holidays as Mother Mary's, but Mother Mary is a mystic. Mm. Like what would have been like for her to like be in preparation and in such devotion to what was coming, to her role, to like all of these things. And it was really, really beautiful to see the images that were produced and just to see her in a new light and not maybe the, you know, woman with the blue that we always see in the nativity scenes.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet. I feel like that's such a nice wrapping up of everything we talked about. We got Mother Mary in your creative, you know, mysticism lens of just tying all that together in this art. Do you have it on your Instagram still? Or was it just
I do
story?
A little bit. And then I started another one called Sold Out Art.
Oh, cool.
Just because that's a fun place to play with it. And just as they come through, I just pop them up there and I'm not worried about growing it or anything. It's just a place to play.
Yeah. Nice gallery. I'll make sure that we put that in the notes.
Yeah,
of course.
It's fun.
Oh, so fun. Okay. So we'll kind of wrap this up and we have touched like up into the sky and the awe and the wonder and the divine and God and history. And then we've also talked about here we are moving through, you know, work-life balance and rediscovering our hands and our bodies and this human life. And so somewhere in all of this, there's mindfulness. You know, this podcast is Modern Mindfulness. And the definition of mindfulness years ago when I started using the word, it was like, what does it mean? People are going to, you know, wonder what it means because it's used in a lot of ways. And I just think of awareness, you know, all these practices of being aware, but really you can define it as you wish. But the one question I do ask everybody is, why is this conversation today important? Why do we need mindfulness practices in our modern world? How does it help people? What's your opinion? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's a great question. I know you brought it up a little earlier and I was like, wow, I don't know if I've ever sat down and really thought about what mindfulness means. But I think part of it, and I don't know if I articulate it right, but what I feel is like if we're not mindful about who we are and what we're doing and how we're operating through the world, then we're kind of just on autopilot, right? Or it's just a bunch of like conditioning. And that's not what the world needs right now. So I think it needs more people that are doing these practices, that are getting in touch with their mind, with their body, with their soul, with God or whatever that means to them. And being more mindful, being more intentional about their impact and their time on this planet in so many ways. You know, you can go from like climate change to like revolution, you know, whatever it is. Because if we're not doing it intentionally, then what are we doing? So I do think it's incredibly important for these practices, the mindfulness, to get in touch with who we are and how we operate and what we want. And from little actions to big actions, are we doing them with intention and with mindfulness? So.
Mm. Thank you. Yes. I'm just going to feel that for a second. Yeah, very needed. I agree. Well, you're so just full of so much knowledge and I so appreciate your openness and your bravery and you're able to like follow and track my energy as we go through this because I knew that we could just go in so many directions and that
so many directions
takes a lot though to follow and you're right there with me. Yeah. So I definitely just want to mention that and appreciate that. That's a gift in itself. And so as we tie this up here, I know you mentioned people reach out to you all the time about different questions and things, but where can people connect with you? Where do you hang out? Virtually,
probably on Instagram. I'm like trying TikTok a little bit, but really it's Instagram. I feel like I'm not as hip as I was with all these social media things. And then I have a website as well, but I think it has a placeholder up there that it's like, right now, just like me, we're in an evolution.
I love it. Yeah, I took a peek and it does. But it's a beautiful photo and people can still contact you on there.
Yeah, so. you can still contact me. But Instagram is probably where I'm more like communicative.
Yeah. When you've mentioned all these projects of the past, but are you currently putting some energy, you mentioned your artwork, but is there something brewing too, something from an inspired place that you're bringing to life?
There's something brewing that's been fun. I'm calling it the embodied experience, where soma meets soul, soma being our bodies, and like kind of being the bridge of how do we, and it ties into the mysticism and embodiment and a lot of what we were talking about, right? But how do we really integrate this through our bodies and through our lives. So it's been fun. I've been doing a few little workshops, classes, different circles, as I've kind of just been playing with how do we get to be more and celebrate being in our bodies.
Sounds nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's so fun. I'll keep you updated on that one.
Yeah, keep me updated and I'll put all your info down in the notes so people can reach out to you. But yes, this is so fun. Thanks for being open to the in-person
experience
here. And I'll be like, I like making visuals in my mind of these concepts. So you've definitely given me just this whole new way to place mysticism with spirituality, with things and gateways like religion, with being a human on this earth and kind of that top-down almost order that I just named. And so I know I've heard the word mysticism, but I really appreciate you just layering it all together and meandering and also giving me something to now have as just a firmer kind of thought of what it means when I see that word and what I'm actually doing. This mapping, but I think it's just neat. It's all just different languages. I think I've used a lot of the words you said around mysticism, not knowing that it was mysticism too.
I know, isn't that fun?
Yeah.
You're like, maybe I'm a mystic.
Now I'm a mystic. Yes. So thanks for that permission or whatever.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Jenny, thank you again so much. And we'll
thanks for guiding this beautiful conversation.
Yeah. I'm just so delighted with the freedom that we just had and the outcome. And I hope everyone can agree. And listeners, thank you. And I'm sure we'll do this again sometime.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks. Until next time. Bye.